comes in, and first thing I had, Bruiser, get over here. Is that coffee made? Yeah, Pastor Don. Okay. And then I made him drink some. Well, first thing he wanted to do was to put some cream and sugar in it. I said, Bruiser, come here, man. Okay, this is my church. You don't put cream and sugar in it. You're going to drink it black. And so he drank it, and, you know, it's like giving a baby like a sour pickle or something. And his face began to contort like he was almost possessed with something. And so later that day, his dad asked him. He says, well, sir, come here, Ray. Tell him what he said.
Well, I drop him off in the morning, and so we're waiting out there, and he says, Dad, I got to go in. I'm like, well, there's nobody here yet. He goes, Dad, I got keys. I got to get in. I says, why? He goes, my first assignment is I got to make sure I make that coffee for Pastor Don. I said, you better get in there then.
Tell him about the drink.
Oh, yeah. He says, Dad. I said, how was it today? He goes, it was all right, but I said, what happened? He goes, coffee. I'm like, what about the coffee? He goes, Pastor Don said I had to taste the coffee. I said, well, what happened? What's the matter? He goes, it was black. Had nothing in it, Dad. I said, so how was it? He goes, well, it needs cream, Dad.
Poor Bruiser, he comes in. You know, I got to have him test the, he's my cupbearer, you know, kind of like Nehemiah. So, well, as Roger said, I heard him say, you know, that I gave you an assignment. It was to read Acts chapter 2. And we were talking last week about enthusiasm. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Naisa, you weren't here, so you know you're gonna flunk the test. All right. See me afterwards. Okay. And I've had some pictures here, and we see that enthusiasm is faith that was set on fire. Amen. How many want to be set on fire? Okay. Every hand should go up. I don't mean literally, but on the day of Pentecost, which was in Acts chapter 2. We see that Christ had ascended, amen, and that when the Spirit of God fell, it says that there were tongues of fire that distributed and came upon each one of them. All right? I don't know about you, but this is how I want to be in the Spirit. I want to be almost like that old, you know, Hogan would know it, the Fantastic Four, who's the guy that could flame on and shoot fire? But that's under the anointing. That's really what the anointing of the Spirit of God is. Okay? And we talked about what enthusiasm, the word, what it meant. And it comes from the Greek word, where Donovan, he's not here today, but it's always good to go back to find out what a particular word means. Now, I got sent a video earlier in the week from Lizzie's boyfriend. Actually, it wasn't from him, it was my wife, and he was with my little granddaughter, and he's telling her, trying to teach her to say his name. Nick! Nick! Where's Nicky? I see Nick over there. And so he's trying to teach this little girl who's 1.5 years old his name. Say Nick. And then he goes, well, in the Greek, Nick, you know, means blah, blah. And I'm going, hey, the kid can't even say Nick yet, and you're trying to teach him Greek, all right? So, but it's a word, enthousiasmos. And what does that mean when we read it in the Greek? And I say this all the time in our Bible study, that when we read certain translations, we lose the meaning because we don't understand how it's used. Okay? And so this word enthusiasm, this is what it means in the Greek, to be inspired by God. How many love that? Amen? We should be, if any people should be inspired. Actually, that word inspirational means to be in the Spirit. And so the Greeks used this word for poets and songwriters because as they created, or even the artists, when they created something and it was beautiful, they would say, my God, they were inspired by God to create this masterpiece or to write this poem. If any of you ever read the Odyssey or Iliad, those were incredible poems, stories. And so they would say these writers were inspired to be possessed by God. You are His possession. If you belong to Him through Jesus Christ, you were bought with a what? With a price. You belong to Him. He's got authority over your life. He's got rulership. He's got dominion over your life. Your life is no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price. And so our allegiance is to Him. Ray shared a story before we started about the wedding feast. And this man came in and he wasn't dressed properly. And I could never understand that. I was like, man, you know, I've been to some weddings and some people come in. Most people dress up kind of nice, you know, put on the Sunday go to meeting clothes. And then every now and then you get somebody come in and they're in their jeans or, you know, I've seen people in track suits and I was thinking, just something inappropriate about that. But when I read that in the scriptures, I was like, what possessed this guy? Why was the king so upset with him? Was it because what he wore? Well, that really showed something that was deep in the heart. And what it showed was that man did not prepare himself for the special occasion that the king was calling him to. And we started off the worship today saying, have we prepared ourselves properly to enter into the presence of the King of Kings, who's called us to come together to celebrate his son here today and what is happening? And we just can't come in and sit down and, you know, be 10, 15 minutes later, come in and start yakking. We should come in. That's why we start off with prayer, so that we get our hearts and our minds right on what God wants to do. So I want to encourage you. We actually have prayer from 8:30 to 9. If you can make it, get there, get your heart and mind right. It says God within, in God, empowered by God. Those are all the meanings from the Greek. And so as we read through the New Testament, we see that as they went forth, as Jesus said this, receive the Holy Spirit he blew upon them. They received the full manifestation till the day of Pentecost. But they were empowered to be witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And incredible things followed them. Other words that we would read, gusto, zest, eagerness, exuberance, liveliness, spirited, inspirational, passion, excitement, motivation, zeal. You get the idea. When there is somebody that has enthusiasm, you can't help but be attracted to them. Unfortunately, we've been Lions fans for many years. And our enthusiasm continually gets strained, but God bless them, you know. And enthusiasm is just not an outward thing, because you can be in a horrible situation, but still continue to work towards what God had called you to, because you're empowered, you're in spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul was in jail for many years of his life, towards the end of his life. But did that stop him from ministering the gospel? Read the end of the book of Acts, and it said for years while he was in prison, men and women came to him, and he taught them. Amen. So last week, we looked at Dan and Marie Abraham. They were the ones that started. They spoke about enthusiasm and apathy two Wednesdays ago. And we looked at, and there's so many scriptures. There's so many stories that when somebody does something that inspires you, you just want to follow them. And when we read about Christ, shouldn't that inspire us to want to follow in his train? Amen. Darren and Lara's testimony from their summer trips and training. You know, here you had, I was kidding Darren before service today. I go, you know, I really enjoyed your wife's testimony last week. Those that were here know what I'm talking about. She just kind of stood there, and he never once handed her the microphone to share anything, did he, Lara? Yeah, listen, okay? When we hand you the microphone, you speak. That's the rule, okay? But her husband did a great job, got up there and took 20 minutes to tell us, you know, and you could see his wife like, I want to add something, and he just kind of like, honey, you know, gave her the forearm, the straight arm, you know, kept her at arm's length. You know, like she never has been used by God. Now, if you hear their stories, and that's why I brought them up here, because of what happened. Here's a guy who was on part of the crew team, he was part of the leadership, he wasn't even saved. And Darren and his wife recognized something in his life. They recognized he wasn't saved. And they led him to the Lord. He looked at Darren in Lara's life and he says, you got something that I want. And I asked him this way, amen, amen. So I asked Darren, I said, you've been following up? He says, yeah, he's been contacting me. He's talked to the guy that's discipling him. Things are going very well. So we definitely enjoy that. We talked with Mitzi. Is Mitzi here today? Okay, Mitzi's going to raise her hand back there. We couldn't get the microphone away from Mitzi. Okay, she got a little bit of Renee in her, but she shared about her job in her house. And she shared this story about how she wanted to change the jobs, but she was like, oh, I'm going to lose my pension, I'm going to lose this, I got to start all over. And then what happened was everything got switched over. And she got an increase in pay. And she got a beautiful house that God had blessed her with. Incredible. When you follow God, we don't follow God to get things. I want to make that perfectly clear. We follow him because of who he is, and that's the only reason. All the other stuff is benefits, amen? You know, he has promised to bless and to look out over his people if we walk in obedience, and that's what Fred spoke about in class. You walk in disobedience, you're not getting nothing but trouble. Okay, I don't know about you, but I don't want more trouble in my life. I'm happy where I'm at, all right? So why do we need enthusiasm? Well, we said last week, Ralph Waldo Emerson was also a writer. Nothing great was ever achieved without what? Enthusiasm. You work with people that lose their enthusiasm for their job. They go, yeah, I just can't take this job no more. I have people that come in, guys that I used to work with on the police department, and they'll come in and go, man, I got 3 years, I can't take it no more. And they're just drained of any life for doing what God has called them to. And as Christians, should that ever be our attitude? And I realize it's hard to work for certain people, it's hard to work in certain places, but we need to say, God, empower me, inspire me to go beyond what I'm feeling. Amen? Amen. Don't we have something great to accomplish? Nothing that ever great was accomplished without enthusiasm. Let me ask you, church, do you have something great to accomplish? You know, everyone who said, hey, yes. What is it? It's to win other people to the Lord. It's to share your life. I don't care if you're digging ditches. You can be speaking to the guy next to you. That's why I love that old movie, The Apostle. You remember that? The Apostle, at the end of the movie, it's about this guy. He ended up killing a guy. He was a youth minister in a church. They send him to jail. And at the end of the movie, he's digging ditches with all the inmates. And they're saying, who loves you? And they're like, Jesus. You know, who's going to save you? And he's using even his jail time to minister to the people. And so we all have something great to do, and I don't care what area of life it is. You may be a teacher, you may be a housewife, you may be a father, or working on the line, you may work in it all. I don't care where it is. God has placed you there strategically, and to understand that He has chosen you. And don't think that you come to, you know, today, great example. We came in here, we got a text. Alex was supposed to lead worship today, but she wasn't feeling well. She sent a text. And when we came in here, and here came Ray, I'm going to do my two songs. I'll stay in the background. Hey, Ray, guess what? You're leading worship today, huh? And it was like, huh? You know, you sound like on the Honeymooners, remember? You're speaking in tongues, but I couldn't discern what the heck it was. But I said, Ray, you're going to do fine. How many know Ray did a great job today? Amen? And I love that sometimes you know, you're sitting down at the end of the bench. Hey, Maldonado, get down here. Bat for Cabrera up there. Huh? He's the big superstar, not me. I'm just a role player. Yeah, but I want you to get in the game. It's your turn. And God called him, did an incredible job. And so we got something to accomplish. And you may be thrown into unfamiliar territory. Darren the same way. You know, he sang a song here today. You know, this is unfamiliar territory. But sometimes you got to, like I said, step up and do it. Okay? John 15:5, Jesus said this, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is he talking about? He's talking to his disciples. He was going to send them out into the world, but there had to be a connection to him. And that connection was going to be through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit. That was his role. That was the conduit. And he says, if you separate yourself from me, you're not going to be able to do anything. You're never going to be able to win people. How many of you know within 40 years, the disciples went into the entire Roman Empire, which stretched from Britain all the way to India, and almost converted the entire continent. Within 40-year period, that didn't mean, you know, they weren't being persecuted, but as they were being persecuted, that church grew. Everywhere they went, where Paul writes to the Romans in the last chapter of the book of Romans, and he says, greet those in the house of Caesar. You see, the gospel made itself right to the very emperor's house itself. They couldn't contain it. Why? Because there was enthusiasm. As people saw the vitality and the life that was in the people that professed to be Christians. You know, if you read history books, when they were burning Christians at the stake and feeding them to the lions, they were out there singing. I mean, crazy. There was a scene actually in the Gladiator movie where the Gladiator guy, he's standing there and he hears singing. And he's going to go out there and he's going to, you know, fight other gladiators. And he kind of climbs up on the stool and he looks out in the window. And there's all these Christians gathered together. This was one of the deleted scenes, but it's in there if you have the CD. And they started singing and worshiping. And he's looking at them, and just the look on his face, like, what do they have? Why are they so willing to die? To him, it didn't make sense, but there was something that connected. Amen? There should be something in our life that connects with others So apart from him, we can do nothing. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. That was an order given to his disciples. That was the game plan. We're going to start here in Jerusalem. We're going to expand out from there. We'll move out from there and eventually into all parts of the world. Today, the world, there's not a country you can go to where Christianity hasn't touched in some form or some fashion. I don't care if it's Saudi Arabia or Antarctica, there are Christians you will find there somewhere, somehow. May not be the majority, but they're there. And 2 out of every 5 people that live upon the face of the earth today profess to be or to know who Jesus Christ is. That's incredible, isn't it? Because on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 against the entire world. Why do we need enthusiasm as Christians? Our work, and I already talked about that. We're not working just for man. God has placed us in a position to work for Him. Could be that office, could be wherever. Find yourself and begin asking God to give you wisdom and how to work for Him. He's given us enthusiasm, keep working. Like I said, it's not always going to be that primrose path. There's going to be times that you encounter obstacles and dead ends, and you're impeded from the progress that God wants to make in your life and where He wants to take you. But you got to keep working. I got to keep working. I got to keep pushing through. You know, I love reading about successful coaches, because when I read about them, you know, success just doesn't come naturally to them, does it? But they're put into a situation, and they have to take what they have and they have to begin building. Then they got to bring others in and begin to expand that vision to others, that others buy into the vision that they have been given. And so we need to keep working regardless. I love what the Apostle Paul says. Whenever somebody leaves the church or, you know, they're mad about something, the Apostle Paul said this, and he wrote, everyone in Asia has deserted me. The guy lost an entire continent. Okay? We lose 1 or 2 people, and it's like, oh my God, is the church falling apart? We got to keep going on. Keep pushing on. I said, God, send me another. I don't know who it was. It might have been Ray, where he showed that movie. What was it? What was the name of it, the new one, about the soldier? Which one? Hacksaw Ridge. You got to see it, where the guy kept saying, Lord, just one more. Just one more. What was he enduring? Gunfire, bombs, barbed wire, all these things. And I don't know how many he took, and then they lowered him down the cliff. Can we have that same enthusiasm? Was he smiling and dancing out on the battlefield? No, he was crying. He was hurting. He was sore. He couldn't even move. But that's when he cried out to God, God, one more. Fill me. Give me that enthusiasm. Fill me again to go and get one more. I don't care how I feel. Let me keep pressing on. Try harder. Maybe some of us serve God and we don't try very hard at all, do we? God, I tell you what, you would have hated to play softball for me down at Detroit Western. Because if I found you, I never let them just do what they wanted. See, I had a stopwatch in my hand. Line up. And I had 2 groups. I had a group called the Thoroughbreds, who were my athletes. And then I had a group that were called the Plow Horses, because they were slow. They weren't there because of their speed. They were there because they could hit that ball a mile, but I couldn't hold them to the same standard that I could hold the Thoroughbreds to. Okay? And so, okay, they had to do this thing, run, time it. And they had the Thoroughbreds had like 34 seconds to complete like a 150-yard sprint. And the Plow Horses, or the Glue Horses, they had like 38. They got 3 or 4 seconds extra. But each time we did it, I took a second off. And so by the third time, they're almost, you know, they're down on their knees and they're praying, they're using my name as a cuss word. And I said, you got to try harder, because there's going to become times and games that you got to push yourself past what you can think you can endure. You know, the Navy SEALs have a saying that says 40%. You know what that means? It means most people only give 40%. And if you become a SEAL, they're going to get that 100% out of you. Because you ain't going to be around being a Navy SEAL if you're not giving that 100%. Because they're going to put you through hell to train you and to get you equipped for what you're going to encounter, what you're going to be responsible for. Okay? Try something new. Hey, Ray, Ray didn't have a whole lot of enthusiasm when we threw him in there, but he's done it before. But he said, God, okay, guess what? I'm going to do it. Pastor, I'll be obedient. And you saw God anointed him. Amen. Not to give up. Go ahead. Pass on something. Are we to pass on our faith just so we had the parents up here today? They're going to pass on to their children their faith. The most precious thing you can give your kids. To exceed a limitation. Do you feel yourself limited in any form or fashion? Guess what? God will take you beyond that. Just think back, amen? Just think back where you may have been. God, I can never do that. Never say never. Well, the girls that play for me, coach, I can't do that. They know what's coming. Everybody down, 5 push-ups. So they correct each other. And somebody says, well, coach, I can't. And then they stop and they go, I can do it, coach, I can do it. Even though they can't, they at least attempt to do it. Amen? See, set a new direction. How many want to go in a new direction with God? Amen? Don't get in that sphere where it's the same old, same old. You walk with God, different things are going to happen every single day. You may be at the same job, but when you come in there, something is going to change. Something is going to be different. You never know who's going to walk by your area or who you're going to talk to. All you got to do is listen to some of the stories. Go ahead. Feel a new achievement. I want to be fueled for that. Go ahead. Regain a focus. We get off focus sometimes, don't we? We always got to come back. I like that story about Peter getting out of the boat. Where did his focus go? It went from looking at Christ walking on the water to what? The waves, the wind, the rain, and what happened began? He began to sink. And then he cried out, and there's Christ to grab hold of him. Regain our focus. Achieve an important goal. And we said our goal is to continually spread that gospel throughout the world. Okay? Once again, I asked you last week, Acts 2:1, that's where we started. Let's look at it real quick. Here's the context. There was a waiting period. Christ had ascended to heaven. But prior to going, he told them, stay in Jerusalem. Do not leave. Now, would that even make sense to us? They had no idea, no expectation. They didn't know what was going to happen. But he told them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. What did that mean to them? Well, they knew about the Old Testament prophets. They knew how God had used them. And they're kind of like, well, maybe that's what God's going to do with us, but we don't know. You know, here it is. I mean, their world was in a spiral. Christ was resurrected. He was dead. I mean, their emotions up and down, up and down. Now they're locked behind doors for 10 days, afraid to go out because they're going to be persecuted. There was wonder, suspense, trepidation. These are things that they went through. Fear, questioning, reflection, waiting. Prayer, searching the Scripture, rationalization, all these things were working at one time. One moment they're good, another, let's search out the Scripture, see what it has to say. Every knock at the door, trepidation, who is it? Prayer, the waiting. Can you wait 10 days for anything? You're like my lovely wife. When it comes to her birthday or Christmas, she's got a gift. I told you, I can't hide it at home. Why? Because, you know, she's like, look in this cupboard. No, nothing there. And then she drops those subtle hints. Somebody has a birthday coming up very soon. And, you know, I always got to play dumb. Oh, yeah, I'll have to check. You know, I'm not aware of that. Yes, it's somebody that you probably love very dear. And go, well, probably the secretaries, you know, I love them. And take care of them. Maybe it's one of my kids. I better check. You know, and I just keep teasing her. But she's like Superman, man. She's got X-ray eyes. If she saw a package there, she could look through it. Okay, the thing weighs 7 pounds. And then it's like a computer list goes in her mind. It's got to be a pot. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. Eliminate all these other things. And she looks at it, trying to smell it. I mean, she just goes through the whole thing there, okay? But she searches it out. So what was about to happen, really, they didn't know what was going to happen. And that's how our wife should be. Filled with what is God going to use you today for? Where's He going to take you tomorrow? What's He going to do with you during the week? Amen? And we talked about the perpetual fire of Solomon's temple altar was initiated by God Himself at the temple's dedication. Okay, when Solomon had finished building the temple, they were there and he prayed and fire came down out of heaven and it lit a fire underneath the altar. And that was that altar where the sacrifices were being consumed. But that fire was always to remind them of the presence of God. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I don't know about you. You know, if the glory of God filled this place, we'd all be down on our hands and knees and our faces to the ground, repenting, if we were still lucky to be alive. But the presence of God filled that temple. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. That was Leviticus 6:13. So God gave them a command. That fire that I started, that's to consume all the sacrifices, it better never go out. And you better not go and use other fire except the fire that I've initiated. I don't know if you know the sons of Nadab and Abihu, who offered, it said, strange fire unto the Lord. And you read about it. What happened? Fire came down from heaven and killed them. Why? Because they took it upon themselves to offer to God something that He never initiated. Something that He never brought forth. Something that He never ignited. So we got to ask ourselves, and I want to be in that place, God, don't let the fire go out in me. All these things that happened in the Old Testament were for what? Our examples. We read about King Hezekiah, whose name means God strengthens. When God empowers you, when He comes inside you and you have that enthusiasm, He strengthens you for the work that He has done. 2 Chronicles 29:7 says, they also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. King Hezekiah was the king, and the people had fallen into such idolatry that in the very temple of God, they had brought in their idols. And they were offering sacrifices of children. And they were, I mean, it was incredible what was going on. And none of the prior kings did anything about it. Well, Hezekiah finds out from the law of God, this is the way the temple should be. And so he gives them an order, and that order was, we're cleaning out the temple. Because prior to them, and this was a rebuke, not to Hezekiah, because he repaired these things. But it says that the priests had shut the doors, they put out the lamps, all significant that there was no enthusiasm, there was no desire to serve the God of Israel, but there was a desire to serve the other gods. I want to tell you something. You put out the fire of God in your life, there'll be another fire burning. It'll be for something else. It'll be for some other god or for some other cause or some other idea, philosophy in life, but it's going to burn for something. How many saw what happened down there in, I think it was South Carolina, where they had the protest, you had the white extremists, and you had the other group, and they came together, somebody ran down in Virginia. These people have a fire burning for them, what they, both sides did, didn't they? You'll be consumed by a fire. The question is, what fire will it be? Obviously, in that day, it was no longer the Lord of Israel. And here's kind of a picture. You could read 2 Chronicles 29:1-36. We're not going to read that, but put that in your notes and read it later, and you'll see the condition that King Hezekiah found himself in. But when he began to clean out the temple, something happened. The Spirit of God began to move, and the blessing of God began to flow back into that land. You see, sometimes you got to take the initiative. You can't say, well, I'm waiting for God. No, you better start cleaning out the temple. You better do inventory in your life and say, I need to get rid of this. I need to check this. I need to repent of that. And when you begin doing that, watch the fire begin to be stoked up in your life. Amen? And you get so clean, who knows? Who knows what He's going to use you for? Amen? Acts chapter 2, which I asked everybody to read, and we're going to take bits and pieces from it for a few minutes here. The dedication of the new temple. How many of you know you belong to the new temple that's being erected? Just like the temple that Solomon built, that was an example of the New Testament temple, which wasn't going to be built with bricks, wasn't going to be built with mortar. It was going to be built with human beings. And the Bible says each one of you are a brick, and that God, that the Spirit of God lives within each one of you. All right? And so on the day of Pentecost, that was the dedication. That was the beginning, the completion of what Christ was initiating. And so just like Solomon's temple had to have the fire come down, so the new temple in the New Testament had to have the fire come down to ignite the altar so the sacrifice could be presented. And it says the perpetual fire, the new temple altar, the church, was initiated by God himself at the temple's initiation and dedication on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And that's what I ask you to read. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, I don't know if you can read it. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like that altar in the Old Testament? Yes, it does, because that's exactly what he's referring to. Some English translations do not extinguish, do not quench. But the Greek word means to let it go without being taken care of. You have a responsibility to stoke into flame. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Another scripture telling us that word grieve is another one. To smother. It means to smother with water, that they would come and extinguish it completely and totally. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Why would he write that? Because a lot of times we have different giftings. But we allow that gifting, that fire that empowers that gifting, to what? To begin to wane. To go out. Maybe some of you were called to be teachers at one time and you go, I haven't taught in 15 years. Maybe some of you were called to be servants and you go, I haven't served in a long time. Maybe some of you are called to be on the worship team, or you were called to do this or that, but that fire has been extinguished. Do not neglect that gift that is in you. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. You see in the New Testament that fire? What's he telling us? To fan it into flame. Stir it up. Use it. Exercise it. Maybe you say, I don't have enough experience. Well, guess what? Ray just got a little bit more experience today. He got fanned into flame a little bit. Amen? Maybe some of your teachers, you get back into teaching, and it's kind of awkward at first, but all of a sudden, it begins to fan into flame. You go, wow, I feel that old annoyance. I feel that old feeling I used to get. We don't get it a lot because guess what? That fire's gone out. We got to restoke that thing. How do we fan our enthusiasm? Acts chapter 2. Let's look at it. And because of time, we were not going to read it, but I'm going to pull out some be in Christ. You ain't going to have the fire of Christ if you ain't in Christ. Maybe some of you are here today, you've never given your life to Christ. Afterwards, you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to know what it means. And there's people that are coming to Christ. It's important that you know. That's the most important question you're ever going to answer in life. Who is Jesus Christ? How do I have eternal life? If Jesus is who he said he was, then he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way that you're going to have eternal life. That's a very controversial statement in today's, you know, diverse culture that we have. But he was in Christ. Those people in that upper room, were they in Christ? Yeah, there was 120 of them. They had followed him. They'd seen him die. They experienced the resurrection. They spoke with him. They ate with him after he was raised from the dead. And the next thing is, do you believe his promise? You see, they stayed in that room, didn't they? They didn't leave. Maybe they went out, they grabbed some supplies, they came back. But they stayed there because they believed the promise. What is the promise that God has put on your life? I know Bob had a prophetic word over my grandson. He'd be a leader. What's the word that God has spoken to you? And if he's spoken the word, what direction has he taken you to accomplish that? How'd you like to get a word like the Apostle Paul? The man who owns this belt will be taken into Jerusalem, and he'll be imprisoned, and he will be taken before kings to preach my name. And they tried to dissuade the Apostle Paul from going into Jerusalem. But what did he say? He knew he had to go. And he says, I'm ready to die for the Lord. You see, he had that enthusiasm. That fire was stoked up. No matter where the Lord takes me, guess where he eventually ended up? In the very seat of the Roman Empire. God knew what he was doing. Amen? Believe his promise. You patiently wait for the promise. See, we want the promise to be fulfilled right now, don't we? We want things to change right now. We got that McDonald's mentality or Burger King. You know, have it your way. Just come on in and get it. I'm in line the other day for, God, what was it, 35 minutes with McDonald's. I'm like, God, what is going on up there? And I'm like, I want it now. You know, I'm hungry. I don't want to come here. And it was like 2 in the afternoon. What are these people? Don't they know what time to go to lunch? 1:30 to 2:30 is my time. Everybody get out of the way. Okay, you ought to be back at the office or going somewhere else. I should have clear cut right to that front line. Hamburger, please. Thank you. Here's my money. Give me the food. Boom, eat, and I'm happy. But I had to wait Admit it. How many of you are always patient to get what God is promised? No. Sometimes it takes a long time. Read any of those Bible stories. They had to wait 10 days. My God, how many of us would have left that room? I ain't coming back. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Okay? Pray for and until the promise arrives. Oh, there we go. How many of us want to continue in that position of prayer? God, I know this is what you call me to do. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. Strengthen me to continue. Be united in purpose with others. Were they united in that room? Yep. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil being poured upon the head, running down upon the beard, running down upon Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. For that is where the blessing of the Lord is, even life eternal. That anointing coming down. It's when we're in unity, Psalm 133 says. They were united in that upper room. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continue. The pouring out of the Spirit of God just wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't just the day of Pentecost. It was a day by day by day by day event. You read through the book of Acts. They left Sanhedrin, and they went back to a room, and they reported to the church what had happened. And so the Spirit of God fell again. And the room was shaken. And they began to speak and to prophesy. It's a continuing filling, a pouring out, a filling back up, a pouring out, a filling back up, continually. And speak as to what you have seen, heard, and experienced to others. That's why I had Darren and Mitzi come up. I wanted them to speak to you guys and tell you why, to build, to stoke that fire up. Hey, God can use those guys. He can use me. God can use whoever. He's no respecter of persons. The end results of being enthusiastic for God. Acts 2, 42 through 47. You need to read this. Go ahead. More devotion study. The scripture says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching, or do you wake up every day and you grab your little daily devotional and you flick it open and you read one little scripture and a little cute story that goes with it? Okay, that I'm fed. I'm ready to go on. Or do you open that word and say, I'm going to read today. God, speak to me. There's nothing wrong with a devotion, okay? But how about getting into the Word and studying? You know, Ray pulled up three or four examples today, which were great. Well, that stimulated our desire to get into God's presence. About the Father, about the banquet, all those things. We hear those stories and they stimulate something in us. So they were devoted to the study of the Scriptures and to fellowship. While we're reading these, open to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, so you can follow with me as we go down this list. If you have your Bible, if you have your phone, whatever you have, device. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they met together, what? Daily. Do you meet together with brothers and sisters? I always joke about getting together with people for coffee, but there's a reason I enjoy doing that. I love the fellowship with other brothers and sisters. So I love going over Ray and Carmen's house. Other brothers and sisters over, I love sitting there and talking, getting to know them. Okay? More devotion to prayer. How many of you know that we all can get a little bit more devoted to prayer, right? I don't care who it is. That's why we try to have time before the service. Come on up. Don't stay in the back shaking hands, slapping somebody on the back. That's great. But get on up here. Take care of business. There's a reason we're here. My Father's house will be a house of prayer. So we come here. We want to pray. We want to get ready. Okay? Constant filling with awe at what God is doing. Are you filled with any type of awe? Have you seen God work in your life at all? Well, I love seeing people get blessed. And it could be something as simple as a baby being born. That's great. Or somebody getting that new job like Mitzi, her new house. By the way, Mitzi, you ought to see her lawn. I mean, you want to talk about just nasty looking. Okay, the house is beautiful. I went over there and visited her and her husband. It was all weeds because they hadn't had it landscaped yet. And so I told her husband, I go, hey, Julian, I really like your landscaping here. Is this, you know, wild weed? I mean, every other house has got the nice sod and a water sprinkler. And then Mitzi's, you know, I'm like, God, pickers, God, you know. Don't you just like it? She's got the vision for what she wanted it to be. Well, Pastor Don, we're going to have the sod over here. And then we're going to have the deck over here. And, you know, they got a jacuzzi. Oh, it's so nice. And I'm looking. I go, man, it looks like a doggone jungle to me, man. I don't want to have to take care of this. And you had lawns. You know what I'm talking about. Constantly filled with, oh, what God is doing. They saw God day after day after day doing miracles. People getting healed. I don't know about you, but that gets you fired up, wouldn't it? Witnessing of miracles and wonders, like I just said. People being healed. People raised from the dead. Incredible what the church will see when it is enthusiastic about God. A joyful and sacrificial sharing with those in need. It said nobody was in need. We took up a compassion offering today. Why? Because there's people that are in need. People will call me and they say, you know, Pastor, I have a need for a table. I have a need for this. I have a need for that. And we'll put it in the bulletin. We'll maybe bring some people up. If it's a big need, sometimes we address that. Because what? We want to see people not go without. And so there's people in the church that say, hey, you know, listen, somebody's got an old table, somebody's got an old stove, somebody's got an old refrigerator. You're helping people out. I don't need it no more. You know, God gives us a thing, we pass along to somebody else. It may not be, you know, in the best shape. I shared the story last week. I had a need for that batting cage. I'm like, Lord, I could really use a batting cage. And I showed up one day and there's a batting cage over at the park. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah, you know. And then I went and looked at that batting cage. It looked like the moss had eaten that thing. Holes in the back, all rotted. But guess what? It served the purpose. And I said, you better be careful what you pray for. I didn't pray for a new batting cage. I said, give me a batting cage. I was thankful, though. I was thankful. So then the boys, they got a new one. But they bought it. And they gave us the old one. They passed it on. Maybe one day I'll pass it on to some suckers. I mean, people that are worthy. A more devotion to worship, with worshiping with other believers. When we come in, I'm telling you, when we're enthusiastic about God, I cannot wait to get here. And I've said this many, many times on a Sunday morning, see my brothers and sisters. I'll go upstairs, I'll grab a coffee with Fred and Esther. I'll go, you know, talk with Charlie, grab Bob, we'll talk a little bit. See Alea running around there, causing trouble. Alea, get over here, give me a hug, okay? All the kids, because it's family getting together. It's just like when my regular family comes in, love seeing them. Okay? In results of being enthusiastic, a couple more, a greater desire to dine with other believers. And I said that. Having a meal with somebody does something. So I am available for lunch, breakfast. I got my buddy Bob back there. I call him every Monday or Wednesday. Hey, Bob, you ready to go out to, you know, for breakfast or for lunch? So we go out and we grab something. And we try to address all the problems facing the world. And there's a million of them. And guess what? We can't tackle them all. But there's something about sitting down with him and enjoying his company and his fellowship and watching what God is doing in his life that gets me excited. And I love doing that. And we need to do that more and more. Amen? Amen. So my wife and I will be available for dinner. All right, next. A constantly filled heart with joy and sincerity. You have joy? Or has that been robbed? Is there sincerity, what God wants to do? A greater desire to worship God. A greater recipient of the favor of God and people. It says they enjoyed the favor of God and all the people. When God is, when you're enthusiastic about God, it's not even just in the church. You'll get the favor of people outside of the church. When I need help, I mean, it's incredible how people outside the church help me. Like, you know, I'm always trying to raise money for the girls' softball down there because the city of Detroit don't have no money that they give to the schools. So I got to rely upon people donating or what have you. But I see people that aren't Christians will come forward and donate and help me out. And it's just incredible. I go, God, you've given me favor with these people. Amen. A greater desire to see people being saved. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that the great task we've been given? There's something about when you lead someone to the Lord. And you say, God, I like that. That was fun. Can I do it again? Just one more, Lord. Just one more. Just give me one more. Uno más. Uno más. In results of being enthusiastic for God, they play an important part in seeing the kingdom of God grow daily. Do you want to see that kingdom of God? You know, the promise that we have, church, is that the kingdom of God is going to continually grow. It's going to fill the earth. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. It has no end. We are part of a family. We're part of a covenant with such blessing. And that is what we're part of, and that's what the good news is all about, that we can have that relationship with God restored through the sacrificial death of His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, last couple conclusion. Colossians 3:23, we'll end here, and I'm going to have the prayer team come up. Whatever you do, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. You know, most of these were written to people that were slaves. You know that? A lot of people, there were a lot of Jews, but you know, the Jews were really slaves in the Roman Empire. A lot of these were written. There's a book in the New Testament, Philemon, who was written to us about a runaway slave. These people were slaves, but what was it that inspired them, that turned that flame on, that even in the conditions they found themselves, they were still faithful to God, whether they were a slave or whether they were free, whether they were being persecuted or whether they were enjoying freedom and non-persecution. Church, God wants to fill us afresh today. Prayer team, if you would come forward here, we're going to close in prayer. We're going to pray just God's anointing as we go forth. I want to challenge you. Ask God to make you enthusiastic. Ask God to fill you, to possess you, to be within you, to inspire you, to give you that zeal. But the Bible says zeal without knowledge is not a good thing. We just don't want to have zeal, but no knowledge. There's a lot of people running around doing things in the name of God, have no idea what they're doing. We see that all the time. There's got to be a balance there. We've got to have the right knowledge, but we also have to have the right zeal. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have poured out and you have sent the Holy Spirit into each one of our lives, that he's come to empower us, to equip us to be witnesses, to be instruments used in the advancement of the kingdom. And Lord, the benefits that we receive, eternal life and all the joy and all the blessings, Lord, those are secondary to being in a right relationship with you. Lord, we have the good news, and may we proclaim it from the rooftops. May we shout it from the mountaintops. May we never shut our mouths. But Lord, in everything that we find our hand to do, do it all unto the Lord with all our strength, with all our might, with all our spirit, with all our soul. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.